Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text number 16. Mam kedayati yata rajasya janma virambanam yata sudeva gehe rajesha vasari bhairi vasvayam Purabhya Vatsiryat Anantaviryaha. Mam, to me. Kedayati, gives me distress. Etat, this. Ajasya, of the unborn. Janma, birth. Vidambanam, bewildering. Yat, that. Vasudeva gehe, in the home of Vasudev. Vraje, in Vrindavan. Cha, also. Vasa, inhabitation. Ari, enemy. Payat, because of fear. Eva, as if. Svayam, himself. Purat, from Mathura Puri. Javatsit, fled. Yat, one who is. Anantaviryaha, unlimitedly powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Vraj and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. Purport. Because Lord Sri Krishna is the original person from whom everything and everyone has emanated, Aham Sarasya Prabhava, Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Janmadi Asya Yataha, Vedanta Sutras 1.1.2, nothing can be equal to or greater than Him. The Lord is supremely perfect, and whenever He enacts His transcendental pastimes as a son, a rival, or an object of enmity, He plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotees like Uddhava are bewildered. For example, Uddhava knew perfectly well that Lord Sri Krishna is eternally existent and can neither die nor disappear for good, yet he lamented for Lord Krishna. All these events are perfect arrangements to give perfection to His supreme glories. It is for enjoyment's sake. When a father plays with his little son and the father lies down on the floor as if defeated by the son, it is just to give the little son pleasure and nothing more. Because the Lord is all-powerful, it is possible for Him to adjust opposites such as birth and no birth, power and defeat, fear and fearlessness. A pure devotee knows very well how it is possible for the Lord to adjust opposite things, but he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of Him as imaginary, simply because there are so many apparently contradictory statements in the scriptures. Factually, there is nothing contradictory. Everything is possible when we understand the Lord as the Lord and not as one of us with all our imperfections. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Yalanjana Shalakaya Chakshum Umilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaite Grim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundinatari Nam Vancha Kalpa Truvischa Tripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Govar Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So we're moving on with remembrances of Lord Krishna. And here the example, of course, the personality of Uddhava is being used as being put under so-called bewilderment based on the actions or the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Srila Prabhupada opens the purport by quoting from Bhagavad Gita, aham savasya prabhava matasaram pavadate iti madhvapajante man buddha bhava samanvita, where Krishna is explaining his opulences to Arjuna. He explains that he is the source of all spiritual and material worlds, and that everything emanates from him. And therefore, the wise who perfectly know this engage in his devotional service and worship him with all their hearts. Now, in the purpose to this verse, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how Krishna is the source of all types of living entities, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. He explained how he is the original form, from whom all the Vishnu incarnations are coming from whom Narayana is also coming from. So in every sense, Krishna is the greatest personality. He is the fountainhead or the Godhead. Everything is actually coming from him, be it his material or spiritual energy. So all these so-called, this point can actually also appear as a contradiction. How can the Sachit Ananda Vigraha form of the Lord be the source of matter and at the same time be the source of spirit? Normally we separate these two energies and we cannot link the fact that they are coming or emanating from one source. But there's a purport where Prabhupada is explaining in the first canto actually that all for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the absolute truth, all types of natures, all types of qualities must exist in him, all energies must exist in him, be they material or spiritual. He always remains aloof. So all imperfections we can find in Krishna, supremely understanding, of course, that everything that Krishna does is perfect. In dealing with all the different types of personalities who he comes into contact with. So even all these qualities that are explained in the purport, whether Krishna acts as a son, a rival, or he showcases some enmity or pride, anger or jealousy, these are transcendental in nature to Krishna. Krishna is beyond the modes of material nature, so all these qualities cannot actually, material qualities can actually not influence Krishna in any way. Time does not influence Krishna in any way in terms of his bodily features, in terms of his ability to maintain his relationships, etc. The time factor does not decay any of Krishna's pastimes. He's always functioning under his own pleasure potency, under his internal pleasure potency. So even for a devotee, some of Krishna's pastimes are bewildering. How Krishna, here the example of course, is of Uddhava, who is showing signs of lamentation upon the thought of Krishna leaving the planet. Now a pure devotee of course is able to understand that the Lord, the Supreme Personality, can never be vanquished, he can never be killed, and he's always in his Goloka planet performing his pastimes. So the mere fact that the Lord removes himself from one place is just a sign that he is gone to perform his pastimes elsewhere. And a devotee or devotees, they always are in Krishna consciousness, so they're always thinking of the pastimes of the Lord. They're always chanting the glories of the Lord, and in that way, they are inviting Krishna into their midst. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita as well, Machit Gat Prana, Bodhayantas Parasparam, Katayantas Chamanityam, Tusyanti Charamanticha, that the Supreme Lord, that the devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss in conversing amongst themselves about the personality of Godhead. And that is actually where Krishna resides. Krishna is residing with the devotees, wherever the devotees are congregating to speak about his pastimes or to glorify him in the form of the holy name. So the pure devotee is always aware of the presence of Krishna, whether it be through the Supersoul or through the agency of Krishna's other parts and parcels. There is never a separation that Krishna is not present or Krishna is non-existent. Just like when we see the sun has risen, it is shining, and when the sun falls over the horizon, it doesn't mean that the sun is dying, it just means that the sun is exhibiting its rays elsewhere. So similarly, when the sun of Krishna decides to end the transcendental pastimes, it may seem to those who with ordinary vision that he has removed himself and he has died, or he has become non-existent. But it is Krishna going to display his pastimes elsewhere. However, the devotee always remains connected with Krishna through his holy name, through his transcendental form, whether it's the Acha Vigraha, and through the remembrance of his pastimes. So just as Uddhava here is being put into so-called bewilderment, we understand this is, of course, in relationship, in terms of rasa, that the Supreme Lord is exchanging sweetness with his devotee. Therefore, he performs certain pastimes according to time, place, and consideration. And only those who also can detect, or only those who are actually conversant with Krishna's personality can also understand this rasa or this relationship. For an outsider or someone who doesn't understand the potency of bhakti or devotion towards the Lord and how it can not only control Krishna but also produce certain aspects of Krishna's personality to change or to become contradictory. Those who don't understand this cannot actually enter into these rasas with Krishna. So the example Srila Prabhupada gives here is of a father and son, a father playing with his little son. So sometimes we might see, whether in different public places or the airport or the park, a very well-respected gentleman or a grown adult playing with his children might seem to play dead or be beaten by his son. But this is done on the father's side to increase the love and affection from the child. And those who are parents will understand this rasa that happens. They can relate that, oh yes, he's just playing with the child. But those who are not conversant with that relationship might find it a bit silly. They might find it a bit stupid. Why are you lying on the floor face down with your head in the mud and this child is climbing on you? It doesn't make any sense. But for the parent who is in a relationship with that child, it makes perfect sense because they are in a loving exchange. So similarly, the Supreme Father Krishna enters into relationships with his different types of devotees. And only those who are actually falling in those footsteps, or those who are also in a proper relationship with the Lord through different rasas, can identify and they can understand these rasas that Krishna has with his different types of devotees. So we can also look at the pastime of Krishna and Vasudeva. So Krishna's father had promised Kamsa that he would deliver all the children that had been produced by Devaki. However, the relationship between Krishna, of course, and Vasudeva was so powerful that Vasudeva, out of affection, wanted to protect his child Krishna. Now, this is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whom, by his glance, he can impregnate living entities, who can destroy the universe, who can do so many powerful things, who can manifest all his opulences in full. This is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is showing dependence on his father, Vasudeva. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada explains how Vasudeva was fearful that Kamsa would hurt Krishna, and Krishna was also fearful that Krishna and Balaram were fearful that Kamsa would come to try to hurt them or kill them. So in the conversation between the conversation Krishna and Balaram were having with their parents, they were apologizing that out of fear they actually had to flee to the house of Nanda Maharaj so that they wouldn't get attacked by Kamsa. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna was never afraid of Kamsa, but to please his father in transcendental affection, he acted as if he was afraid of Kamsa. So it might once again seem like a contradiction. How could the Supreme Personality of Godhead be attacked by fear? He himself is fear personified. How can he be put under the purview of fear? Understanding that no material mode of nature can actually affect the Supreme Lord, and fear is one of the 18 illusions of having been coming in contact with matter, that one's vision and one's activities become tainted by the three modes of material nature. But with Krishna, this is different. These are emotions that are exhibited in transcendental love in relation to his pure devotee's affection. So when Krishna was dealing with his father Vasudev, this apparent contradiction is erased because Krishna was exchanging love on the highest platform, on the transcendental platform, between him and his devotee. So in that sense, it is different. It is not a normal exchange that is covered by one of the modes of material nature or the transformations of the different modes of material nature, be it madness, anger, illusion, etc. So this was all done because the Lord had affection for his father Vasudev. And before even anything happened, when Vasudev was transporting Krishna, passing by the Yamuna River, it is mentioned that Lord Krishna, on purpose, he fell into the waters of the Yamuna to test the affection of Vasudev, to see the transcendental emotion that would arise in Vasudev at the thought of losing Krishna. So once again, all these pastimes, all these emotions were exhibited by the Lord and his devotee in transcendental love. So there's no tinge of material qualities in these relationships with Krishna. Krishna always relates with his devotees on the transcendental platform, never on the material platform. So in the nectar of devotion, there's a wonderful chapter that Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining the personality of Krishna. So right after he lists the different qualities of Krishna, he further explains the personality of Krishna, explaining how Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. His form is the reservoir of all pleasure, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So in Krishna's form, all types of rasas can manifest, all types of relationships with different living entities can become manifest. And at the end, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that all these apparent contradictory traits in Krishna's person are not at all surprising, and one should not consider the characteristics of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be actually contradictory. One should try to understand the traits of Krishna from authorities and try to understand how these characteristics are employed by the supreme will of the Lord. So this is a wonderful explanation leading after a chapter that is explaining the qualities of Krishna, in which, you know, determination, power, chivalry, tolerance, self-discipline, all these qualities of Krishna have been explained, and now Krishna's personality in four different ways is going to be explained, and sometimes they look contradictory. And hence Srila Prabhupada makes further statement that this shouldn't be surprising because everything is resting in the personality of Krishna. So first, Srila Rupa Goswami explains Krishna as Dhirodatta. Now this is a person who is naturally very grave, very gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. Now, so many statements have been given, especially by Lord Indra, praising the Supreme Lord for his chivalrous spirit in performing so many activities like lifting Govardhan Hill, a typical example of Krishna's potency, Krishna manifesting one of his opulences, of course. And this is difficult to understand, of course, by many learned scholars because they might see Krishna in a different light. Krishna is the apparently a young cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and even the residents of Vrindavan do not even see him as God, yet he's performing activities like lifting Govardhan Hill, he's killing so many demons, so it can appear bewildering for a mundane person or a scholarly person who has no influence of bhakti. So after this, the quality of Dira Lalita is explained by Rupa Goswami. Now, Dira Lalita is a person who is naturally very funny, always youthful, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. Now, if we see different pastimes of Krishna, sometimes Krishna displays some level of anxiety when dealing with his devotees, when dealing with the gopas or the gopis. Sometimes when Srimati Radharani in transcendental ecstasy gets upset with Krishna or Krishna's parents tie him to a grinding stone so that he doesn't continue to be mischievous, he gets in anxiety. As the verse in Dharmadasakam explains, that Krishna started breathing heavily at the sight of Mother Yashoda coming to punish him. He showed some level of fear in his eyes. Now this is the Supreme Lord, the fountainhead, and he's exhibiting some type of fear. But the distinction should be made that this is not a materialistic version of fear. Fear is always in relation to a material concept. Fear is in relationship to one's body and one's bodily enjoyment, be it on a gross or subtle level. So when one is fearful in material existence, they're fearful of maybe the time factor, they're getting too old, or they're not as youthful as they used to be. So many different examples. But with Krishna, this never applies because his fear is on a transcendental platform. It is in relationship to his mother and father's sweet rasa in Vatsalya. So this is the main difference. So Krishna manifests this quality of being Dira Lalita amongst his relationship, amongst his different rasas, whether it's with his gopas, the gopis, in Vatsalya Ras, or those devotees who are in Madhurya Ras. This quality is shown by Krishna. At the same time, Krishna is also called Dira Prasanta. Now this is a person who is very peaceful, very forbearing, considerate and obliging. Right, we see that Krishna, in the pastime with his devotees, the Pandavas, he was always, he felt obliged to protect the Pandavas, to become Arjuna's charioteer. Krishna's name is known as Parthasarathi, to become the advisor and the friend of his devotees. So Krishna would take a subservient role to serve his devotees. This does not diminish his tattva. It does not diminish the truth behind Krishna's magnanimity or behind Krishna's opulence. This is in relationship, these qualities or these Krishna's personality is always in relationship with his devotees. So when he was dealing with Maharaj Yudhisthira or with Arjuna, he would always show some subservient position in trying to be a charioteer, an advisor, a messenger. And this was done in a relationship that is already existing between the Lord and his devotee. It also says that when Krishna was speaking with Maharaj Yudhisthira, although he was noticeably a very great scholar in explaining religious principles, still he spoke in a very cordial and in a very gentle way because of his position of being a younger cousin to Yudhisthira. So even Krishna would check himself, and in relationship he would behave a certain way because Yudhisthira Maharaj was the emperor and he was his older cousin. So this is Krishna's personality as being Dhira Prasanta. And then finally as Dhirodatta, this is a person who is very envious, a person who is proud, easily angered, restless, complacent. Now these are attributes that are found in the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Now one might think, proud? Why would the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibit any level of pride, anger, being restless? It in itself denotes one's showing the quality of being equipoised and being gentle and being humble, etc. But once again, in relationship to Krishna, dealing with different types of devotees or non-devotees, in this case, the example that's been given is of Kalyavana and how Krishna wrote the famous letter to Kalyavana in not such a nice way. Right, Krishna addressed Kalyavana as a sinful frog. And he asked him to immediately go find some dark well where he can go and reside so that the snake called Krishna will come and devour him. So this is Krishna expressing his magnanimity in terms of being Dhirodatta. But when it comes to protecting his devotees, when it comes to exhibiting his magnanimity, Krishna takes on different types. Not that he takes on different types, but he exhibits different aspects of his fullness. Whether it be contradictory or not, it is not contradictory, as Prabhupada says. Everything is resting in Krishna. All qualities rest in Krishna. Although there might be opposing. So here is Dhirodatta, one who is very proud, angered, restless, etc. And then there's Dhirodatta, who is supposed to be very gentle, forbearing, determined, humble. So once again, it looks like these qualities Krishna is showcasing contradict one another, but they're actually perfect in their reciprocation with the specific devotees. So in that way, all these bewildering incidents in Krishna's pastimes is just to showcase his greatness, how he is supremely perfect. Even in dealing with Kalyavana, even in dealing with Kamsa, dealing with Shushupal, dealing with Putana, dealing with Kubja, Krishna reciprocates in the most perfect manner for the benefit of that devotee. So he reciprocates with Arjuna, he reciprocates with Yudhisthira, he reciprocates with Draupadi and Kunti, respectively in the relationship or in that rasa. And in that way, the sweetness or the exchanges of Krishna and his devotee is increased. So, pure devotees, as mentioned here, like Uddhava, sometimes it says here, it looks like Uddhava is bewildered by such actions of Krishna, how Krishna is going to disappear from his sight. This just goes to show how wonderful the personality of Krishna is. His actions are extraordinary. He's an extraordinary personality. And to find that out in the pages of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is a wonderful experience because then we can develop our trust and faith in the personality of Godhead, Krishna, when we understand how he treats his devotees in a particular way, depending on the mood of surrender, depending on the level of purity. Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So in whatever relationship what we are in with Krishna, as it says in the Vedic text, whether we have no material desire, whether we are full of material desires, or when we when we desire liberation, still we should put our faith, trust, and surrender everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So under any circumstance, we should always reside at the lotus feet of Krishna, because it is Him only who is the all-powerful. No one can be equal or greater to Him, not even Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. He is the source of everything. Everything is emanating from Him, and everything is resting on Him. So when we read about Krishna's qualities, when we read about His personality as well, things take shape and take form, and we understand the person Krishna. To understand just the Brahman aspect of Krishna or just the Paramatma aspect of Krishna will not produce the highest level of love of God. We have to understand and realize Krishna in totality, in full. So just understanding one aspect of Krishna is not enough. We have to understand the full picture. And then we won't be bewildered by anything else. So here, I'll read the translation again. When I think of Lord Krishna, how He was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although He is unborn, and how He went away from His father's protection to Vraja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, He fled from Mathura in fear, all these bewildering incidents give me distress. I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
You said about humility of Krishna. Can you give us an example of humility of Lord Krishna?
Krishna decided to be a messenger during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna decided to be a charioteer. And Krishna decided to give glory to the Pandavas, specifically Arjuna. Krishna didn't have the anxiety to be recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains this aspect of humility as not having the anxiety to be praised and glorified by others. So although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, He is the Supreme Potent, He is the source of everything, and in an instant, as He showed His universal form to Arjuna, He was showing that by my will, everything can be annihilated. However, I would like you to take credit for all of this. I do not want to take any credit for myself, but I want my devotees to be glorified. So that is just one aspect of Krishna, allowing Himself to just be a messenger, a charioteer, as Parthasarathi, and not being in the anxiety of, oh, will I be glorified? Will I gain any followers, etc.?
Any other example of humility? Very important.
Example of humility, there's so many. Well, in the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna Himself lives a life of a very simple cowherd boy. He plays with his friends. Sometimes he gets chastised. Now, this is the Supreme Lord Himself. But whenever Krishna is taking a subservient role, whether He is, what's that name of Krishna that means? There's a name of Krishna that means, trying to remember. Anyway. Krishna is always taking a secondary role in relationship with devotees. So that's all over Bhagavad Gita, all over Srimad Bhagavatam. Taking the time to relate the process of bhakti in Bhagavad Gita, and even after having instructed Arjuna, telling to Arjuna that now I have said everything, now it is up to you to decide. And in some commentaries as well, I've heard in different classes that Krishna would have spoken Bhagavad Gita again had Arjuna not said he is understood. So Krishna is always willing to do more for his devotee and expect nothing in return. So humility is a broad topic. It is a very deep topic in itself. It is unjust to just cover it in like 2 or 3 minutes worth of an explanation. But looking at Prabhupada's explanation, how he explains humility as not being an anxiety about being worshipped or being glorified, that we see so many times in Krishna's pastimes, he doesn't have that anxiety. He's self-satisfied.
What about Lama?
You can give us more examples.
It's very important.
Yes, Sudama was Krishna's friend, and he never wanted to ask anything from Krishna. And by Krishna's transcendental arrangement, they met after many years, and Krishna could detect that Sudama was attached to his renunciation. Therefore, he gave him so much opulence and so much wealth. But Krishna was attracted to Sudama's simplicity. That's why he awarded him. Similarly with Lord Chaitanya in his pastime with Raghunath Das, when he heard that Raghunath was eating the rice that had been thrown out, even by the cows themselves in Jagannath Puri. It had gone off. It was Mahaprasad that had been given. It was off. It had been given to the cows. Even the cows would reject that rice. And Raghunath Das would go and pick it up, wash it, and that's what he was eating. Lord Chaitanya, of course, being the super soul, understood this, and he went right at that moment where Raghunath was eating that rice, and he begged and begged Raghunath to give him some prasadam. And Raghunath, of course, was trying hard for that not to happen. And Lord Chaitanya was explaining how he was tasting the humility of Raghunath Das Goswami. That's why he was attracted to go there. So many pastimes. We can tell. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
In the scripture, it is declared in so many places that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So why do many people get confused that other demigods are supreme, or they think that Krishna is equal among so many demigods? Can you explain why people have this confusion?
See, the Vedas are made up of so many different types of books of knowledge. The Vedas are vast. So you have the different Upanishads, you have Moksha Dharma, you have so many different types of books. And we know that the Upanishads, they're those that are written in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, because the living entity has certain desires and they might want to fulfill those desires in a certain way. So they get given ways and opportunities to try and enjoy. So in those literatures, sometimes it is explained Lord Shiva is superior, or Lord Brahma, or Ganesh, etc. So that is for living entities who are on a lower platform of understanding. So it gives them an opportunity to gradually rise, whether it's through practicing Karmakanda or through worshipping a certain demigod, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He makes the faith of one steady in one demigod, so that gradually over time his faith can be transferred towards him. So all these different confusions are there because the living entity has different types of desires, and the Lord facilitates by trying to send a book of knowledge to help them try to purify those desires and eventually and gradually attain the level of bhakti, which is what will give one real liberation. Real liberation meaning one is reinstated in their original constitutional position as servant of Krishna. Not just getting out of a material body, but actually understanding that one is a servant of Krishna at the same time.
So can you explain how in the scripture this is done out of love and friendship?
don't know if I can explain much, but in the spiritual world, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. And everyone understands this point and this fact. So everything is going on for Krishna's pleasure. So even when Krishna is playing with the gopas or stealing butter to feed the monkeys, this actually gives pleasure to the different residents of Vrindavan. The elderly gopis, they talk about Krishna all the time. Oh, he's such a naughty boy. He stole butter again. He fed the monkeys, etc. This gives rise to more transcendental affection for the Lord. So everything that happens there is actually giving pleasure to Krishna and the inhabitants. Even if it looks like there's some so-called type of fear, there's a Trinavrata coming or there's Dhenukasura. Whenever that happens, everyone thinks of Krishna and takes shelter of Krishna. So when Nimai pinches the kids when they're sleeping or etc. Of course, from a material point of view, we cannot understand that, but that also gives pleasure to the mothers. That aids in the transcendental humor and the rasa. It intensifies it. Because what naturally happens is that everyone's consciousness becomes filled with Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. So whether it's Krishna's pastime of feeding the monkeys or Krishna's pastime of pinching babies, at the end of the day, everyone is absorbed in Krishna's activities. Specifically, when Krishna is a baby, his activities are extremely attractive. So naturally, when all these occurrences are there in the spiritual world, they actually give rise to more affection and pure love for Krishna. So we don't look at them in the same lens as we would look at fear or theft in the material world. That is always, as you mentioned, that's always a result of enmity or pride or enviousness. But in the spiritual world, it is based on pure love. That's what the basis is. And therefore, there's no, we can't find any material qualities in the spiritual world. Any more comments or questions or corrections?
Yeah, you were talking about magnanimity.
Huh?
Lord Krishna.
Okay. Sorry, I really didn't get anything you said. Rukmini?
Rukmini, when he saw that Krishna is giving everything to Sudama, he was so perplexed.
Yeah, the Lord is magnanimous. He comes as a devotee to give the highest love in the most fallen age. That's a sign of his magnanimity. So that is the... Okay, I see everyone's walking out. Okay, I'll end here. Granta Rajshimad Bhagavatam Kim. Shabbat Bhagavatam Kim.